This free program is paid for by the listener members of KPFT Houston. If you're not already a member, think about joining with us to help keep free speech alive.
This radio station. Visit kpft.org for information about the program council. This is KPFT Houston.
Oh, here's one. Become what you've always wanted to be. Your new body awaits you at gym. Great.
Is there something wrong with your old one?
Right here. Okay. This is it. Page 37, our local gay newspaper. Laser hair removal. Prices starting at $99. Botox, collagen, Symetra, microderm abrasion, laser treatment for wrinkles, dark marks, unwanted tattoos, red faces, and broken blood vessels. Mole removal, glycolic chemical peels, acne, facials, eyelid surgery, brow lift, facelift, scar revision.
Scar revision. That's interesting.
You are the body you were born with, my brother. You are the soul you make yourself.
You are the soul you make yourself.
You are the body you were born with, my brother. You are the soul you make yourself.
You are the soul you make yourself.
Warning. The following program contains subject matter that portrays gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgendered people as first-class citizens, deserving of an equal share of the American dream. Topics like this are known to piss off televangelists, backwater preachers, some talk show hosts, blue-haired biddies, several members of Congress, and other socially unacceptable outcasts like radical right-wing nut jobs. Listener discretion is strongly advised.
Have tuned into After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude, a continuing tradition here on KPFT 90.1 FM. The crew of After Hours is ready to bring you news, interviews, discussions, and music geared to the gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender community and our allies. We are a diverse group here, but we all have one thing in common. We are out of the closet and urge everyone to come out of his or her closet as well. That means recognizing who you are, standing up for yourself and your rights, and being proud of who you are. We understand that this might not be possible due to age, job, or frame of mind, but remember, we are here especially for you. So kick back and relax and get ready for this week's edition of After Hours.
Hello, Houston, Galveston, and the world. It's the March the 7th episode of After Hours. I'm going to be your host tonight, Wes Laverne.
And I'm Jimmy Carper, the co-executive producer. We're a short one tonight.
Yeah, Chris is out sick. Apparently, his episode from last week ended up being another upper respiratory infection. Yes, I said infection, not the other one.
He's coughing and his throat is sore. What do you think it's about after Louis weekend?
I know, right? Well, but he did sound pretty bad when I talked to him on the phone earlier.
Yeah, he did sound.
So we hope
illy, yes.
I hope Chris is following my instructions of going to sleep instead of listening to the show tonight.
No, he's listening.
Obviously.
And if we talk trashy enough about him, he'll be calling in.
Probably, we'll see. Either that or he'll probably try to ring my cell phone. Who knows?
Have you jumped back from Louis?
Well, I really didn't do a whole lot during Louis.
You didn't?
No, I didn't. I didn't.
You're not the sleazy type?
Normally I am, but...
We have guests who are...
All right.
Me.
Listen to him in there. Yeah. You're terrible. No, I was actually...
So you were a Louis.
I was a good boy this time around.
What the hell for?
I don't know. Call me old and old-fashioned. I don't know.
I'm old and old-fashioned, and I...
You're just old.
Hey. I was gonna... old and dirty need.
You know, Louis is like going to Vegas.
What goes there stays there?
You got it.
It comes back to you 2 months later.
unless Tim Bratcher took a picture of it. And then the whole world gets to see it forever.
True.
Yeah.
No, I was a good boy.
Okay.
I didn't do a whole lot. Of course, that was, for me, that's end of month stuff, so I try to tend to keep my brain as semi-fresh, I guess.
Whatever. You'll get with it one of these days.
Who knows?
Yeah. Well, we've got a short show tonight because...
it's daylight savings time.
And, you know, who but the fairies would be the ones to have a show when the time magically goes from 2 to 3.
And imagine that. We don't have our magical tune that y'all played that one.
I know.
I don't know where y'all got that from.
It's a musical flourish. It came off of a sound effects LP. LP. That's LP. How long we've had it.
Jeez.
Yeah.
Did you, kind of, you actually said that?
Those 12-inch vinyl things, you know.
We're not talking about what you keep in your bedroom.
No. The round ones. Round 12-inch. Yeah.
Again, I'm not talking about what's in your bedroom, Jimmy.
In diameter.
Oh.
Not
circumference. Keep going. Keep going.
Not circumference.
I'm 1 millimeter long and 12 inches around.
Yes.
That's the one.
You walked into that one.
I know. Let's talk about some of the stuff that's going on in the community.
All right.
Before we get the Colts on.
All right.
You were here last week, weren't you? When Theater Suburbia
came
on. Did you hear some of that stuff going on?
Yeah, I did. It was pretty good.
It was. And, in fact, Judy and I went to see that play Friday night.
Did y'all?
It is a British murder mystery / farce, with the emphasis on the farce. It's
not in the studio.
Oh. F-A-R-C-E.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. I thought Virgin walked in here again.
Oh, ouch. Anyway, it's called The Murder Room. And Theater Suburbia is putting it on through the end of this month, through March 28th, on Fridays and Saturdays at 8:30. Reservations are 682-3525. Of course, that's 713. This is directed by Doris Merton. And Theater Suburbia is located at 4106 Way Out West Drive.
And that's way out.
It's
west.
Off of Hempstead, actually.
Yeah. Way out west.
You can, you know, either take Hempstead to Way Out Drive, or you can take 43rd until it hits Hempstead, and then turn around and go back one block, which would be Way Out West.
Yep.
That's the way to do it.
And way out south.
And you might want to get your tom-toms out because you can get lost.
I don't think so.
If you've never been out in that neck of the woods, yes, you can.
Well, you might.
Because I have a friend who has a tom-tom that does the voices from AbFab.
Uh-oh.
It is hysterical.
I can imagine.
You arrived at your destination, sweetie.
I'm going to have to hear that one.
Anyway, they have that after-hour special going on at Theater Suburbia. You call in for reservations and mention that you heard it on After Hours, and you get two tickets for the price of one.
Yay.
Yeah.
Nice
and
date there.
Tickets are only $12 anyway.
There you go. That's a nice date.
That is a nice date.
Go have dinner beforehand.
Mm-hmm.
Go see the show.
See the show.
Get a little hanky-panky afterwards.
There you go.
Get down tonight.
There you go.
Get down.
And, of course, later on tonight...
That's a big fly.
And that would be Sunday. Sunday is it's Nibble. Night in Black Leather.
What?
Happening Nibble.
Nibble?
N-I-B-L. Night in Black Leather.
Oh, I thought Nibble, like you nibble on something.
Well,
I think that's later.
That can be arranged.
That was Louis.
We'll just let the Colts do their thing.
Oh, and, okay.
We'll do a little nibble. Night in Black Leather show happening tonight at 7 p.m. at the BRB. It's an evening of leather entertainment to raise money for the Colt 45's AIDS Trouble Fund. And I'm sure that the Colts are going to be talking more about that.
I think the peanut gallery heard us.
Yes. He heard it, he heard about my... He, well, he knows.
He heard about the nibble.
Yeah, my nibble. Not peanuts.
Did he get that guy off his lap?
I don't know.
Oh, my God, he's upright.
Anyway, from the ICOH calendar, this Wednesday, ICOH is bartending in the Martini Bar at EJ's, and later the member social and monthly birthday celebration. Then on Friday the 13th,
again, there's another one this month.
Not only is it Judy Reeves' birthday, but it is the Mr. and Ms. BRB 2009 contest. Come out and support Stephen, and I believe Aaron is running also. Next weekend is the 14th, is the BRB anniversary. Next Sunday is the AIDS Walk.
Oh, is that, is it time for that already?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Already is right. And I do want to mention that Friday the 20th, ICOH is having a show, which is a direct benefit for GCAM, the Gulf Coast Archive and Museum, at Tony's, hosted by Orlin Culliver and Bill McCarthy.
Cool.
So that's going to be not only a nice show, but a classy one with those two involved.
Cool.
Yeah.
Did you forget something there, Jimmy?
Like the HCC meeting?
No, not that.
What?
Also on the 15th, you got the Miss BRB contest.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I don't have
Sunday
that down night. Here.
No, actually, they decided to put them both on the same night.
Oh, really? So it's Mr., Miss, and Ms.?
They're all
Friday?
Three on the same
yeah,
night.
Mr.
Yeah, I believe there's
a... Yeah.
Change that.
I believe we have an announcement about that somewhere.
Yep.
Really?
Yeah, here it is.
Well, I gotta scratch my calendar then, because now I got Sunday night
yeah.
off.
Oh, okay.
Oh, no.
I can read that.
Yeah, I know. Like, you think I can read it?
This was the guy that had the kid drop off his lap.
No, that was my printer was running out of ink, and so it's a little
yeah,
funny.
This is courtesy Jimmy.
Anyway, I did want to mention that the big meat is back on the patio at Ripcord. But only
how big is the meat?
Only on the first Saturday of the month.
How big is the meat?
It's hosted by the Houston Big Men's Club.
Oh, okay.
It was good.
Yeah.
You totally missed that reference altogether.
No, I didn't.
Just chose to
no,
ignore it?
No, I did not. That's
go
right.
Go figure. The one so, time Jimmy didn't go for the big piece of meat.
I know, right?
I like them really average to small. I know I'm weird that way.
No comment.
I know.
No comment.
Anyway, the first Saturday of every month, the Big Men's Club will be on the patio at the Ripcord from 10 p.m. until 1 a.m., serving hamburgers, cheeseburgers, and dogs. And a portion of the proceeds...
Say that again?
Dogs.
That's what I thought you said.
Yeah. Okay. A portion of the proceeds go to the RMCC food pantry. Coming up on the 15th of March, the second annual scavenger hunt. Wow. Get your teams ready. We are encouraging all groups of HCC and beyond to join in this fun-filled afternoon. Sunday, March the 15th, starting at 3 p.m. Starting point is the Brazos River Bottom, 2400 Brazos. It's $5 per person with five people being on each team. And your group could have more than one team. This is a benefit for Camp Hope. For more information, go to dubcubed.southerncountryhouston.com. Cool. And speaking of Southern Country Houston, the 17th annual Sweethearts in Texas Spring Fling Hoedown. It's happening March the 19th through the 22nd.
Who's a hoe?
Who's a hoe?
Who's a hoe?
After Louie, a lot of us are. benefiting AFH Camp Hope. registration is $20.
Put your hand down.
For all 3 days. It's the hoedown schedule of events. Thursday, March 19th, registration and reception at the BRB starting at 8 p.m. Friday, March the 20th. Friday Night Fever, benefit show, 8:30 to 10:30 at the BRB, followed by a bar crawl. Oh, and when you have a bar crawl starting at 10:30. It really is a bar crawl, I guess.
Woof.
Saturday, March the 21st, breakfast at George Country Sports Bar at 9:30 a.m. Oh, right. After a bar crawl, you're going to be there at 9:30 for breakfast.
Louie.
Yeah.
If you're up all night, you can be.
Fun and games at EJ's at noon, and a drag race face-off. I don't know what that means.
Who's taking their face off?
I don't know. I don't want to see that. reception party on the patio at EJ's.
Why should I say which drag is taking her face off?
You never know. Dance performances at the New Barn at 7 p.m. And Sunday, March 22nd, luncheon at Tony's Sports Bar at noon. Tea dance at the BRB 2 to 4. And reception party at the BRB at 3 p.m. Boy, that's, you know, boy, you're going to spend a lot of time going from bar to bar, aren't you?
Depends on if you're a bar person.
Sunday Spectacular Show, Dancing with the Presidents at the BRB. For a full schedule of Hoedown events or more information about us, please go to southerncountryhouston.com. And why don't you do a couple?
I was going to say, you're going to hog up all the announcements?
Yeah, that's me.
Go figure. Can't get him off his knees and can't get him to shut up.
That's me.
If he's on his knees, he will shut up.
That. Oh, you know me so well.
Doesn't he, though? Stage Door Inc. is in the Center for the Performing Arts and Education's doing their 2009 fundraiser, their Second Chance Prom on Saturday, March 21st from 7 p.m. to 11 p.m.
Second Chance Prom.
Second Chance Prom for those that didn't attend or couldn't attend or whatever your reasons were for
not
attending.
Or had to take a girl.
That too. this promise for you.
Mm-hmm.
The theme of the prom is going to be Enchanted Under the Sea. They're going to have a silent auction.
Mm.
They're going to crown prom king and prom queen. Wow. And they're going to have dinner and dancing. Mm. Tickets are $50. It's going to be held at the Aquarium Restaurant on the third floor banquet room at the Kima Boardwalk in Kima, Texas.
Wow, that sounds like a tux affair.
Probably is. If it's $50, I would put on my tux.
Yeah.
And I actually have one. I have to dust it off.
I bet you look hot in it. And I bet you look really hot with it all crumpled on the floor.
I knew where that was going.
He saw that one coming before it left his mouth.
I could... No.
Thank you.
Oh, where we could go with that.
Yep.
Mark your calendars for the Mr. Ms. and Ms. Montrose Pageant, Saturday, March 28, 2009, at EJ's Bar. That's at 2517 Rouse Street, and it will be at 8 p.m.
See, that's different than this other one.
Probably.
This is the Mr. and Ms. BRB.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll probably have that one hiding in here somewhere.
Okay.
Who knows? For details, contact Jeff Wallace or Rose Smith. You can get a hold of Jeff at jeff@carterwallace.net.
Try Rose.
And Rose is at daddyrose3925@aol.com.
3925?
3925.
Okay, whatever.
I don't need glasses. I can read it.
Yes, sir.
Join ICOH, Space City Empire, and your host, Imperial Prince Randy Hatcher, Grand Duke Roberto Candelaria.
Mm-hmm, Candelaria.
Thank you. And Baron Christina Martinez, as they take you back in time to a night at the speakeasy.
Hmm.
I don't know if that's easy to say or not. An evening of swing, jazz, and big band music. 1920s attire and music encouraged, but all are welcome. Going to be on Saturday, March 28, 2009 at EJ's Bar at 8 p.m. This is a fundraiser for Rain 7, benefiting PWA Holiday Charities and the Lexi Bowen Community Fund.
Cool.
Try to say that five times real fast.
Oh, well. How many more you got?
I got about six more.
Ew.
I'm going to try. We'll go over this one real quick. As we've said over the last few weeks, the Ripcord and staff are doing an association with Don Gill Productions.
Yes.
Doing Mr. Prime Choice Texas contest.
Absolutely.
The contest will be held at 9 p.m. on Saturday, the 25th of April at the Ripcord. Eligibility requirements one more time. You must be 40 years of age or older within the calendar year. You must have a $35 entry fee paid to PWA Holiday Charity Food Drive, and that will be calculated in your fundraising total. Provide a videotaped or DVD fantasy, which is not to exceed 6 minutes in length. No total nude or sex acts, please.
Damn it.
It's the ripcord. They're doing that now.
Yeah, but you can't have it on film.
Yeah, it's not going to be on film this time. I'm sorry.
Yes, see.
You must have your funds raised for a charity of your choice. Entry fee, fantasy, video, DVD, and charity funds must be turned in on the 24th of April.
Now, I know Woodja is running. Do we know if anybody else is running?
I haven't heard of anybody else.
Mm. I haven't either.
Mm. We need to get some more men involved here.
I'm too young, sorry.
Me too.
Not by much.
He scared them all away.
Hey! Watch it!
Much is a relative term.
Watch it!
You know.
How old do you think I am?
For me, much is, you know, 20, 30, who knows?
nice save. I'll remember you when Christmas comes.
Yeah.
Give you that stocking full of coal. Let's see. What do we got going on here? Gulf Coast, the GCAM.
Yeah.
And let's see. Okay. Please join hosts GCAM Ambassador Mark Baldez and founding member Jimmy Carper.
Ha-da-da.
Bring your dreams to a world of fantasy show. It's going to be at EJ's Patio on Sunday.
Sunday.
April 19th at 2009 at 3 p.m. Why not? It's a fun theme and a great reason to gather and raise some funds.
And an afternoon show.
Yep. All performers are welcome. Disney song or song numbers preferred. If you're interested in performing, contact GCAM Ambassador Mark Baldez at secretary@gcam.org or call Judy at 832-722-5785.
And you can do that right now.
Between noon and midnight.
Oh, she put that in.
Yes, she did. So it's 1:30. You cannot call now.
She's up.
GCAMP is a 501c3 charity and a member of the Texas Association of Museums.
Yes, we are. And you're going to do the Dungeon Master thing?
Yeah, I'll do that one. Okay. I'll do that one next. Let me pull it out here.
Because that's at the end of the month. People need to know about that.
Yes. Let's see how we're going to start this one here.
I don't know.
I didn't have time to read all these before the show.
He didn't. I just gave it to him.
Yeah, just threw it right at me, like he always does. There's an upcoming certified Dungeon Master training program being held in Houston. This program is underwritten and certified by the Texas... Oh, geez, somebody didn't proofread their work. Certified by the Texas Council of Tribes. This course is sponsored locally by National Leather Association Houston and HPEP. The program is open to all interested parties regardless of club or group affiliation. If you're interested in serving your community as a qualified dungeon monitor or in expanding your knowledge of BDSM, first aid, this is a 2-day training session for you. Will be held on Saturday and Sunday, March the 28th and 29th, 2009, from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Directions to the affair will be sent to you upon a registration. Your trainees are Master Bear and KC. Let's see. Can we say how much this costs?
Yes.
Okay. Costs are for dungeon monitor and BDSM first aid training sessions are free. American Heart Association CPR training fee is $10. Note, the discounted rate is for this program only, and other AHA training is significantly higher. Also, if you're already CPR certified, you may skip the CPR training session. So that covers that.
Let's send the drag queens. I'm serious. Let's send Crystal Rayleigh love to that thing, as if she's not bitchy enough. Let's send her.
Oh, I'm stepping out. Stepping out.
Can you turn this mic on?
There you go. You got it now.
You want Crystal Rayleigh Love
to get her
to give you CPR.
Oh, wait a minute.
You trust her that much.
Got one more.
I mean, I love the girl, but.
Hey, I got one more for the end of the month, buddy. I got one more for the end of the month here.
Okay.
Let me go ahead and I'm going to do this a quick one.
I love those quick ones that you do.
Oh, yeah, I bet you do. Coming to the BRB on Sunday.
Sunday.
March 29th, 2009, the third annual Playboy Bunny Reject Show.
Tommy.
And Bunny Reject of the Year, 2009-2010 contest. The beneficiary this year is the PWA Holiday Charities, LVL PWA Campouts.
Yeah.
Okay.
I love the campout.
We're looking forward to having 12 bunnies compete this year for a calendar for 2010 to be sold at the LVL PWA Campouts.
Mm.
Showtime is 7:30 p.m. after a traditional Easter dinner at 6 p.m. of ham, baked garlic, mashed potatoes with all the fixins. And yes, they did say fixins. And dessert, too, for a $5 plate.
Damn.
For more information, registration, and dinner tickets, just reply to Tommied, that's T-O-M-M-I-E-D, 1949, at sbcglobal.net, or you can call 713-652-3110.
Anytime.
Cross-posting will be very much appreciated. Thank you.
I am an official reject from the Playboy Bunny Reject Show last year.
It happens.
I'm sorry, Jimmy.
I told you to wear your shorter skirts. You might have won then.
You didn't wear the good underwear that night, did you?
No, I didn't. I didn't. Yeah.
So how you doing, Jimmy?
I'm doing great.
They let you in the room with us now,
they
huh?
They did, indeed.
I kicked them out of the studio, sent them in there with you guys.
The Colt 45s are with us tonight.
Welcome, gentlemen.
We've got Falcon and new president, Phil Lyles.
Yay!
How you doing?
Doing well.
Everybody clap. Do we got a clap tape?
No, I wish. We don't have those kind of sound effects in here. What are you talking about?
Then where does that farty one... Oh, Jimmy. I'm just trying to figure out where the farty one comes from. Are you, this is yours. Is that better?
That's mine?
Yeah.
Okay,
is that better?
Yeah, much better.
Oh, okay.
I was turning yours up.
I just turned them on. Don't ask.
Okay. And don't tell. Please don't tell.
I've been through that. I wasn't in the military.
Why did he just grab a trash can?
I'll be right back.
So let's talk.
Yeah, there's been a lot happening with the Colt 45s. There's a new president.
Yes, a new board.
And I'm really, really sorry that Stephen Bunch isn't here tonight, because I wanted to ask him about a rumor that I've heard about him.
It's true.
Is it true?
Yes.
We don't spread rumors.
It's that he can swallow an entire banana whole.
I proved that on Monday.
Hello.
I had a friend of mine hand me a banana, and I did it.
Okay.
She was like, holy hell. She didn't think I could do it.
Okay. I'm looking at you in a whole new light.
I'm definitely staying now for after hours.
I'll put it to this way. She handed me the banana. I proved it to her.
And then bit it off
right before the end of the banana.
Peeled or unpeeled?
Unpeeled.
Okay.
Unpeeled?
See, I would have been more impressed if he'd have said he... peeled the banana while it was in his throat, and then gave her back the peel.
I haven't gotten that down yet.
Okay.
I'm working on that.
Okay.
Okay. We'll work on that later.
I am definitely old school here.
No, he still goes on his knees. That's old school. He just does the real things.
Yeah.
You know, no bananas.
No, just...
Well, I was at work, so I had to keep it clean.
So...
old vanilla blowjobs.
Then where's the cucumbers?
In my refrigerator.
I don't do vegetables.
Jimmy says he does.
I only do fruits, not vegetables. Boy, the double entendre on that one, if I ever heard one.
Yeah,
exactly.
Going on.
Yeah.
But anyways.
Yeah, this is serious.
No, it's not. It's a Colt 45. It doesn't do anything serious.
When has this show ever been serious?
Well,
you saw our movie skit.
Yeah.
We don't do things serious.
Ooh.
Every once in a while we have to do something serious, but not tonight.
True.
When I did the whole fisting thing, that really got people, well, don't ask. you do have your finger ready on that red button, right? Because I got all the words right here. I can see them from here. I'm going to do a test on you any minute. So you got to have that finger on the red button.
It's not red. It's yellow. And it's yellow? Right here. Yeah, it's right here.
Okay. Oh, yellow.
I didn't say I was going to do it now. I just said you have to listen, keep your finger on it. Don't move your arm. Okay, good. We just have to make sure he's ready.
I'm always ready, sweetie.
I'm just an innocent bystander.
Or fruit.
Here.
You're never innocent, Jimmy. Please. I've heard the stories.
Okay, well.
Ask Tim.
I've seen the video.
Pictures.
I'm going to.
Did they post it on YouTube?
Yeah.
Okay.
There's a lot of people doing fundraisers for Colt 45s here lately.
I did a whole weekend thing.
Yeah.
Which we're kind of in the middle of.
Yes, you are.
So Friday night we were at George when technically we raised about $730.
Now this is a special thing you're doing for a computer.
Yeah, we're trying to get a new computer, Well, let me start from the beginning.
Okay.
After Hurricane Ike last year, we heard of a lot of the horror stories. Like
sure.
Chase Bank getting the windows blown out, a lot of personal information going mm-hmm. all over the city of Houston, of course. We have the same situation. We have people's files in our office.
Yeah.
And our office is upstairs at the BRB, which, you know, granted, it's a wonderful building, but... It's old. They lost part of the roof on the addition on the side. So yeah. That could have easily been the whole thing. So to be proactive, what we're going to do is we're getting a new laptop, mm-hmm. A new multi-page scanner, and a really good shredder. And we want to go paperless.
Ah.
So this way, if a hurricane never comes at us, and we have to do this now, because we have a lot of files, we have to get all this stuff scanned in the next few months before hurricane season hits. And so what we're basically doing is we're trying to do a almost like a capital gains drive right now, where we're trying to get contributions coming in to where we can get this new computer, get all these files scanned, get it all backed up. This way, if a hurricane comes, any of us on the board can just run up there, grab that laptop, back it up onto a few memory sticks, pass them out to the board so each board member has our files on backup and take the laptop and go. And this way, everything's backed up. We can recover real easily.
And the security.
And you got the security.
Yeah.
And it's very important for our clients. We have clients.
Oh, yeah.
What the Colt 45s do. Tell us what the Colt 45s do, Phil.
We help people who have AIDS with things such as their rent, pay bills. If they get into a situation where they can't afford these things, these basic things as far as life is concerned.
Like if you're on SSI and you have a hospital stay and, you know, the rent goes on, the electricity goes on.
Everything.
Even though, you know, you're in the hospital and you get out and you have extra drugs you got to take.
Right.
And so
we're there to help.
You're there, okay, am I going to pay the rent or am I going to get the medication I need?
Exactly.
And we take care of that.
Mm.
We take care of the rent part.
So... Of course, we have our clients who are full-blown AIDS.
Yeah.
They're all on SSI, on disability.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't want that information getting out. It's very private information. So, and I think a lot of people out there listening will understand, you know, even if you don't have AIDS, if you're going to the doctor, you don't want your private information being blown all over the city.
That's right.
So what we're asking is, you know, go to our website. We do have a PayPal attachment there to where you can make contributions. Let us know that you want to make this contribution. There's an email and everything. You can contact us. You can contact Phil. There's a connector right to the president.
Okay, what's your goal for this project?
$1,600.
Okay.
And we've got over $700 in right now.
Mm-hmm.
So we're almost halfway there.
Good.
And basically, tonight's show, unfortunately, because of Louis weekend and Jimmy, you know, working his knees all weekend, nobody's out this weekend.
He wore out the entire city.
He wore the city out. And we went around
just
to...
Just a little thing I do.
Yeah. We went around to a few of the bars tonight, and all the bars were very quiet.
Really?
So there's not that much going on, so we didn't even have a show tonight.
Ooh,
we 86'd the show. We passed the hat.
Ouch.
And so tomorrow we still have the barbecue dinner going on, which we'll have from 3 to 6 p.m.
At the BRB?
At Tony's Corner.
At Tony's, okay.
So that's kind of coinciding with the Bears. Bear has their Bear Beer Bus.
That's right.
Which is, I think it's 50 cents drafts, 50 cent draft or dollar drafts. I think it's 50
dollar
cent.
Draft. I don't know. Dollar draft.
Dollar draft. Dollar draft. Cheap beer.
Yeah.
You get your barbecue sandwich and chips and coleslaw. It's all the barbecue and the coleslaw is homemade.
Mm-hmm.
It's only $3.
No kidding.
No kidding. So come on out, and if you can contribute more, we'd appreciate it.
Sure.
We also have a raffle going on this weekend. And the raffle, what we're doing is Cavenders has donated belt buckles.
Mm-hmm.
And the two we have left are jeweled.
Ooh.
And they're very pretty. We have a blue one, and we have a diamondette one.
Mm-hmm. Not pink, huh?
No, pink.
Damn.
No pink. Sorry. You know, I'll go back, and I'll see if I can get a pink one.
You didn't look hard enough in the women's section.
Oh, I had this poor manager on his hands and knees. Yeah, it was pretty good. Anyways.
Well, how bad he did.
But, anyways, Cavenders, they stepped up. They gave me the belt buckles. I also, at the same time, have a gentleman who does a 45-minute massage, a haircut, a body sculpting, and...
What's body sculpting?
It's where they trim all the hairs and make you look
hard. Oh, manscaping.
Yeah, body scaping. Yeah. Scaping, sculpting.
Okay.
And what was the other thing? Oh, and a facial. It's $150 value.
Mm.
So that's part of the raffle, too. And I got two more of each.
Mm-hmm.
I got two belt buckles and two of those certificates to give out. So it works as a package. So tomorrow at the luncheon, we're going to give away one belt buckle and the certificate as one prize. Then tomorrow night at Nibble, we're going to do the same thing. If Chris Beck is listening, surprise, I didn't confirm this with you yet. Anyways.
Like it's ever stopped him.
It's never stopped me before, and it won't stop me now. Hell.
Hey, Chris, we're doing it. Okay.
So the raffle will be going on through Nibble tomorrow night.
Okay.
Now, all the money we raised throughout the whole weekend with this raffle, too, we're doing a 50-50 tomorrow night.
Yeah.
So all the money we raised over the weekend, we're going to put it all together, and we'll go draw one ticket for the 50-50.
Okay.
So it's a lot of stuff that you can do as far as coming out and just participating, getting a good meal, going in on the raffle.
And the Nibble show is going to be
great. And the Nibble show is going to be great.
I'm still wondering who we're nibbling. Who are we nibbling on? I'm still trying to figure that part out.
Come here. Come here. Jimmy, you can switch, and I'll demonstrate what nibble is.
Oh, okay.
Put the bucket down. Put the bucket down.
Trust me. President says run. Run. Run for your life.
So that's it. You know, you two are... No, I'm not going to say it because I'm going to get down. But
Phil and I together.
You're just asking for visual. Visual.
Not that kind of together. I
mean. Oh, you want me to throw out a word here? He's got his finger on the button. Let me see. What do you want?
No.
Something about a sandwich?
No, that's not the word. But anyways.
No, that's tomorrow at the barbecue. You get a sandwich.
Yeah, you get a sandwich.
Do I get a sausage, too?
Oh, you would.
Yeah. Come on over.
As soon as I tell everybody the banana store, you'll get lots of sausages.
Well, if they're not listening to the store to the show tonight, they're not going to know about it.
Come on over. I'll give you the presidential sausage.
Vienna sausage?
Yep.
No. Believe me. Not
this
even
one
close.
Did, no.
Not even close.
He said something about a
cocktail. Have you seen the ones with the toothpicks in them? Yeah.
Oh, the cocktail wieners?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But if you want to donate to the Colt 45 for any reason, you know, we have the AIDS Trouble Fund, which Phil said earlier.
Yeah.
We take care of people with their emergency rent and utility assistance, people with full-blown AIDS. We also have the Till Thacker Fund, which is our altogether all-purpose fund.
Mm-hmm.
We use that for a lot of different events, like when the hurricane did hit.
You bet.
We help some people get supplies or help them take care of their insurance deductibles.
I think you've used that to help bury people also.
Yes. Well, we used to have a burial fund, but we actually recently rolled that into the Till Factor, so it's all one fund now. It got way too confusing on the treasurer's level.
Yeah,
I'm the past treasurer. I retired 6 days ago, 7 days ago. never doing it again. But
never say never.
As a treasurer, you know, you got... If you've ever seen one of our treasurer's reports, it's really fun to follow because it's actually four different columns. You get one bank account, but all these split-offs.
Mm-hmm.
So we're trying to consolidate a little bit. But, yeah, if you want to donate to us, our address is the Colt 45s, P.O. Box 540803, Houston, Texas.
Try that one more time.
That was easy for you to say.
540803.
Mm-hmm.
Houston, Texas, 77254.
Now, what about the web address?
www.cult45s.org.
45s.
45s, yep.
Okay. 45s.
And that would be the easiest way. And you can do PayPal and stuff.
Yes.
You?
On the website, you can do a PayPal. You can donate to us directly on it for any of the funds.
Yeah.
Just shoot us an email, say, I just gave you a donation, and this is where I wanted to go for.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So this $1,600, this is for the working fund
again? It's for the working fund.
Okay.
Like I said, if you donate and you say, I want to go to the AIDS Trouble Fund, it'll go to the AIDS Trouble Fund.
Right.
We do not pull any money from any other fund. We don't shuffle money at all.
If it's specified, that's where it goes.
That's where it goes.
I know you guys are like that. And no one gets a salary.
No. There's only about 10 of us left. We need more members, too. So if you're thinking about joining, if you are interested in a good charity... Phil, you were on membership drive last year. Tell them how.
I wasn't on membership drive. I was just
put them on the spot.
The head of it.
Oh, I do that all the time because I'll hug the microphone, so I have to pass it off.
Of course, he does.
Yeah, just put him on the spot.
Have you never seen me on the radio?
He hogs.
you ought to be Falcon. You ought to be damn glad that Lillian isn't here. Or you would never get on the mic.
Oh, thank you.
Or for evil twin Vivian, but that's a whole other story. We'll talk about that
later. I like Lillian. I say no to crack all the time.
And close. Anyway, actually, to become a member, you could go to the website, like as we said before, www.cult45s.org, and we do have our meetings, which is the third Monday of every month. Upstairs at the BRB starting at 8 p.m. So you can come in, check it out.
Yeah.
Find out if it's an organization that you'd like to be involved with. We're a good group of guys.
It's a family atmosphere, which is typical family, you know, kind of fighting off in a hundred.
Oh, yeah, we fight. Oh, they're good.
We've been known to have a few disagreements, but all for a good cause.
When the Colts are putting on a show and there's food involved,
is there a food fight?
You know,
it is always good.
Our food's good.
Good food.
Especially the desserts.
Well, maybe I'll have to come next time. I think I might have to show up this week.
Yeah,
or this month.
Well, you know, a lot of the stuff we do so much for our community also.
Yeah.
We go to the PWA Holiday Charities Camp Out every year.
You do.
Twice a year, actually.
You do lunch.
We do lunch up there.
On Saturday.
So
drive an hour and a half or two hours. Two hours, you know, to serve lunch to about 150 half-naked men.
Half-naked?
Well, half
Jimmy.
Of them are, half of them are naked and the other half aren't.
You're the aren't part.
Yeah, I know.
That's surprising.
If you get past that, you can do anything.
But yeah, we go up there and we serve lunch.
It's great.
We drive 2 hours up, 2 hours back, so half our day is gone already.
Yeah.
But you know, a lot of us have started going up and spending the night because we just have so much fun. It's a great camp out.
It is fun.
It's just wonderful to go up there and do that. You know, we have other things that we do. We help out, of course, Southern Country Houston and the Lariats and whoever asks. You know, we're always there to help out. And so a lot of our shows, we do about, what, three big shows a year?
About three big shows a year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's usually towards the end of the year that we do it.
The Christmas, the fall harvest.
And
our Easter, which is becoming pretty regular.
Yep.
The Playboy Bunny Reject.
Yeah, that's a Cult 45 show. And that's going to be funny, guys. Come out. I get to be a bunny this year. Are you going to be a bunny, Jimmy?
I'm thinking of it. I was a bunny last year, and I just went for the hell of it. And
Scott's thinking about doing it.
That's right, Judy and I. Yeah, she was my twin. She was my shadow.
But and for those of you who don't understand the concept of a bunny show,
it's very campy, very fun.
Mm-hmm.
Very campy.
Oh, yeah.
The idea is not that you necessarily have to get in drag. You just have to get into a theme.
Mm-hmm.
And we slap on ears and a bunny tail on you, and you end up walking out as one of Hugh Hefner's Playboy Bunny's rejects. And you go out there and you perform a number. It's based on tips. And the person who
raises the most money.
Raises the most money
because
is the winner.
Playboy Bunny reject.
Yeah. So, you know.
And Tommy's, like you said, a calendar. Tommy's wanting to do a calendar. So for the first time, he'd like to have 12 bunnies.
That
would be great.
I get to be April.
Is that when your birthday is?
Yes. You know my birthday. My birthday is a national holiday.
National...
Everybody celebrates my birthday. It's tax day.
Ah!
I don't think we necessarily celebrate it, but...
Do you know how hard it is to find a party on that...
Everybody's crying that day.
Oh, no. Yeah, suicides.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, it's like, what do I do? Go to the post office?
And the weirdest thing
cake?
Is they don't even say it's because of the taxes. They just hold, they just put on their, it's Falcon's birthday.
Yeah.
That's their
national slut
charge
day.
Him. It is. Oh, that's why I never celebrated on the 15th. Wow. It's usually a week before, a week after. I do want to talk about one other thing outside of the Colts. Quit laughing. I put it back in my pants. Quit laughing. Do we have anything in April?
That was a small joke.
No, not that I'm aware of. Eat your bananas.
I have been.
No, I do have one thing that's coming up in April, and it's for another thing that I do. Coming up on April 18th at EJ's is one of our, it is at 8 p.m., is one of our pre-shows for Illuminations Projects.
Oh, really?
Yes, and I think we get to announce who our official beneficiaries are.
Yes.
Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Are you ready to clap?
I'm ready to clap.
It is MCC and Gulf Coast Archive Museum.
Thank you,
it's going to be the Montrose Counseling Center and the Gulf Coast Archives Museums.
Wonderful.
And this year, for those who didn't get a chance to see, you can go to www.illuminationsproject.org and check it out. The website is getting updated all the time. Last year, with the help of my partner, I had this thing thrown in my lap. Then we had the hurricane.
I remember.
We had a whole bunch of problems getting the show going. We got it off. We got that show on the stage at the Hobby Center, and we doubled our attendance. We did a really good job with it. But this year, for those who don't know, I found out that I got Parkinson's. So in December. So I decided, I can't do this by myself. So I brought in two more producers. So I'm happy to announce that one of the producers is Miss Sarah Scholander, and the other one is Josh Jones, which is AKA Anne Marie Gill.
Anne Marie Gill, yeah.
So two wonderful people, along with my husband Scott, is going to be the producers. I'm still the executive producer and director, and this year we're still looking at having wonderful people like the Houston Ballet, the Houston Metropolitan Dance Company.
I was going to say, you still having those folks?
I'm trying. I mean, I'm going to send the invitations out. Sean Williams, Planet Funk. We're going to get all the invitations out. And hopefully they'll respond and come back again this year. Last year's show, I do have it on DVD. Yes. Surprise. I have it on DVD, and it is going to... I'm going to have a show part of it at each one of these shows that I do.
Okay.
So we're going to show the first part of it on April 18th, so you can see, you know, the first half of
Wonderful.
The first set. And I'm just going to keep that big TV there back on the backstage, and we're going to be, while people are performing, they can actually watch in between performances. Hey. We'll have some of those show being seen. So this
way... while you're talking, basically.
Yeah.
That's a good thing. At least they'll be entertained that way.
You know, she's walking home. I'm all right.
Wouldn't be the first time, buddy.
You got your cell phone to call a taxi, right?
You know it.
Yeah, the Skinner taxi. But that's basically... Do you have
old man taxi.
The old man taxi?
Yeah. No, actually, that's the Colt 45. It's the Playboy Bunny Green Check.
Yeah.
And your benefit. That's
okay.
What I was here to talk about.
For now.
Great. We're not going to talk about Lillian. Lillian's not doing anything?
No.
Lillian's on hiatus for a while.
Mm-hmm.
On her anus?
No. Hiatus.
You got that finger ready over there?
I'm more interested in seeing the banana thing.
We're going to Kroger's.
What we're
going to
do is play some music, and we're going to see the Hatch thing, because they're waiting in the wings.
Yes,
the Hatch is
we
here
have
tonight.
No bananas.
And
we have no bananas.
Six and a half minutes, the fairies are going to do their work, and 2 o'clock becomes 3 o'clock.
That's true.
Yes.
So, thank you, Jimmy.
You're very welcome. I was glad to have the Hatch.
And let me throw that information out one more time on the Colt 45s, so you guys have our address and stuff. One more time. This is for both contributions and if you need assistance from us.
Okay.
You can contact the Colt 45s at www.colt, colt45s.org or P.O. Box 540803, Houston, Texas 77254, and our phone number is 713-526-6077. That is a message type phone. We will call you back. Don't keep on calling it up 1,000 times because nobody answers it. But we will call you back.
It's all electronic.
It's all electronic. We will call you right back.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
And congratulations on your presidency.
Thank you very much.
Yay!
Your Highness or whatever.
Are you talking about his anus again?
No.
Your most anus.
Wes, take us away.
All right.
Make like Calgon.
We're going to listen to some Atwood and Camo. And you're listening to that here on After Hours on KPFT. 90.1 in Houston, 89.5 in Galveston, and as always, kpft.org on the World Wide Web.
Gotcha.
Awakes imagination. Silently the senses abandon their defenses. Slowly, gently, night unfurls its splendor. Grasp it, sense it, remulous and tender. Turn your face away from the garish light of day. Turn your thoughts away from cold and feeling light, and listen to the music of the night. Close your eyes and surrender to your darkest dreams. Divert your thoughts of life and youth before. Close your eyes, let your spirit start to soar. And you'll hear closing in around you. Open up your mind, let your fantasies unwind. In this darkness which you know you cannot find, the darkness of the music of the power of the music of
And we're back, and as Merlin breaks out his magic staff and changes the time from 2 a.m. to 3 a.m., we're going to go ahead and bring in the hatchlings. Hello, hatchlings.
Hi.
Hello.
How are y'all this evening?
Pretty great.
Good.
Awesome.
All right. Well, it's y'all's time. Let's rock and roll.
All right, cool. My name's Lakia.
I'm Alex.
And I'm Brendan, one of the facilitators and volunteers for the Hatch program.
Yeah, and like you said, we're with Hatch. Hatch is a local youth organization for young GLBT people to come and hang and have support and all that good stuff. Some stuff we have coming up. Well, first of all, we meet every Friday, Sundays, and Tuesdays. Fridays from 7 to 10, Sundays from 6 to 9, and Tuesdays from 5 to 9-ish. You could probably show up before then. We're there all the time.
And we always hang out afterwards.
Yeah, we do. We're fun people. Coming up, we have stuff in the works for our prom and our pride entry. If you want to show up on Tuesdays, you can get involved with that. We have a college night on Sunday, which is today. Later today. Wow, I'm going to see you later today.
Hello.
Cool. Basically, we're going to talk about colleges for people who are getting ready for colleges and working on filling out scholarships, all that really awesome stuff.
Yeah, the Hatch PFLAG scholarship gives out, gosh, thousands and thousands of dollars to GLBT youth for college.
Yes, there's actually two other scholarships that Hatch has. There's one for trans youth and one for gay young men. None for the lesbians, but we have lots of money to give away. You should come and pick up applications and hang out with us. It's a lot of fun. And if you've never heard of Hatch or you've never been to Hatch or you want information on Hatch, you can go to hatchyouth.org or you can just Google Hatch Youth and our site will pop up. And you can just click on the contact and call us and talk to the awesome people there about trying to get you out here. We'll carpool. We'll come get you if you want a ride.
Yeah, she gives me a ride all the time. Because I'm carless.
It happens. Yeah. That's all.
Okay, great. Well, what are we talking about tonight?
We're going to talk about some personal experiences with being out, coming out to our families, and being outed by individuals that are not ourselves. Did you want to go first, Alex? Or?
Sure.
Awesome.
Well, my coming out story isn't really that bad, I guess.
Doesn't have to be bad. It's good when it's not bad.
It's really good when it's not bad at all. Yeah. So, me and my mom, we share a lot. And so, I was talking to her back when I thought that I was in love with this girl. And I would... felt that I should share that with her. I didn't really feel like forced to do it, but it just felt like it was thrust upon me, like I have to tell my mom. I have these such strong feelings for this girl.
And how old were you?
I was 14.
Okay.
And so, like, I remember we had just went to a movie and we were sitting in the car. My little brother and sister had already gone in the house and we were still sitting there. And so I was like, yeah, mom. And then I told her the story and she was like, whoa, okay then. And, like, there wasn't much exchange, a few jokes to lighten the mood. And then we kind of just went back. We went in the house. And then, like, later on that night, like, in the middle of the night, she woke me up. And she was like, well, I just want you to know that I love you no matter what. And I was like, awesome. But it's 3 o'clock in the morning. Good night. But, yeah, so much love. It was pretty awesome.
Great. At age 14, I'm wondering, did you self-identify as being... Do you identify now as being a lesbian?
Actually, right now, I identify as being a trans guy.
Okay.
But before, I know a lot of younger GLBT, there we go. they go through that stage where a lot of them, they're bi.
Uh-huh.
They say they're bi at first because... They want to hold on to it, you know? Like,
easier.
Yeah.
It softens the blow.
It does soften the blow. And it's like, it's not so bad if you're just bi and you still like the right.
Right.
Quotation finger.
Right.
Gender. And so...
And there, and I think parents always think that there's, that means there's a chance for grandchildren.
Exactly. Yeah.
And for a traditional marriage.
I've informed my mother that, that that's not an option. I'm sorry, Mom.
So how young were you when you decided that you were GLBT?
I came out as bisexual when I was 14.
Okay.
And I'm guessing that was around ninth grade high school.
Okay.
And then around 10th grade, I was like, guys, not so much. You know? And then just recently, my eyes were open to who I really am, you know. And so I told my mother, I've been thinking about it since this past December.
Okay.
And then I told my mother about 3 weeks ago, right before I started coming to Hatch. And I was like, oh my gosh, I told my mom I need some support. So I went to Hatch.
And so she got some.
I did get support. As you see, I am still in Hatch 3 weeks later. It's pretty awesome, guys. Seriously, come. But it's really cool when you have like a bunch of friends supporting you. Like, even if your parents don't really touch on the subject, like they'll ask you how you're doing, but not really ask how you're doing.
Sure.
And when you have that group of friends there to support you, it's really cool. And you feel engulfed in support and love. So.
That's touching.
I love you, Lakiza.
That's not my name.
You know.
But yeah.
That's pretty much my coming out story. Still in the making.
Still in the making.
What about you?
Oh, where to start? I guess I can start with when I kind of came to the realization that I was not straight. That was probably when I was like 13, middle of like 8th grade-ish kind of time. I started coming out to my friends first as bi, because I had had crushes on guys. They weren't kind of, they weren't, you know, serious. And, yeah, I kind of, I identify now, I guess, as bi, mostly to just be on the same page with everybody. Like, told this person I was bi, I guess I'll tell them that too. I was recently, outed, to my parents and to my older brother, by my older brother's girlfriend. I don't like her very much. She's not a very nice lady. But she called my mom and told her, and my mom called my ex to confirm, I guess. And I didn't know about any of this until my ex told me about it, and I was like, wow, I feel really unincluded in this whole process of me coming out. So I had to call my mom and tell her over the phone. And I didn't even get to tell her, I just got to confirm it for her over the phone, which is really unfortunate. It was not a situation I wanted to be in. Just wasn't pleasant at all. I haven't spoken to my brother since then. This was last week, and I have not spoken to him since. And I live with him, which is really, you know, we don't talk, but... It's a weird situation to be in. My grandma called me this morning, and then again this afternoon, I was like, oh my gosh. Oh, I don't want to talk to grandma. So, that's something else I'm going to have to deal with tomorrow. I'm not excited about it.
Yeah, my grandmother doesn't know.
Hmm.
Yeah. Well, that's always a interesting point where you have to start outing yourself.
Yeah.
I mean, you have different segments of your life. You have your family, your immediate family, and you have your secondary family, extended family, and then you have your work, and then you have school, and then you have friends. And then there, from there, you have different levels of friends. So especially at your stage, at your stages, because you're both young, you're mm-hmm. You're kind of just starting off on your adulthood.
Yeah.
So where are you at in the stages of outing yourself to the different people in your lives?
Well, I kind of just walk around with my nice little rainbow belt.
Okay.
If, you know, there's no questions asked, it's like, oh,
gotcha.
Yeah. So, it's, I mean, if you wear the rainbow belt or anything rainbow-ish, most of people will assume, but I guess I kind of act the part, so it's more obvious, I'm assuming. So, but everybody knows pretty much, except for my grandmother and other family members that aren't really in this state. That'll be interesting when I go visit them this summer, but yeah.
So who gets to tell grandma?
Hopefully I do. Hopefully.
Is that something you'll talk over with your mom, do you think?
About
a strategy?
Well, I asked my mother if it was a good idea to come out to my grandmother, like, to tell her. My grandmother is, well, my whole family is pretty religious. And, well, my grandmother used to be a minister or whatnot. And, you know, I don't personally think that'll go over well. And I asked my mother for advice. Uh-huh. And she said, no, that would not be, you know, a good situation to go through. But, my aunt found out, and she's moving from Michigan, and she found out because, you know, I'm out on MySpace, apparently. You know, MySpace is the big thing, and it's the one way to be true to yourself without many looks, because you can't see they're looking at you like that. But apparently one of my younger cousins found my MySpace and was like, oh my God. And they told other people in my family, and like, aunt got word of it, and she was like, are you really? And then I was like, I guess I am. Yes, I am, you know.
Well, if it's on MySpace, it
ain't right. Yeah. And so it's funny because my aunt moves here, and like, no, first she called my mom and she's like, did you know? And then my mom's like, as a matter of fact, I did, yes. And then she's like, well, are you, you know, how you feel about that? And my mom's like, she's my child, you know, so.
So how bizarre would that have been, like, if your aunt was like, did you know, and your mom was like, no, I did not.
I know, that would have been horrible, because then I would have been outed by my aunt to my mom, and then I would have been addressed, and then it would be awkward. And I'll have to do that whole, like you said, the confirming instead of coming out, and that wouldn't have been cool. And I completely see where you're coming from, because that's not cool. Like, outing, like, the whole event of outing is your personal situation. Like, you have to do it because it's you. And, like, it's crazy.
There was, you guys may be too young, but in the 80s especially, there were a lot of celebrities and a lot of high-profile people who were GLBT. And remained in the closet. And it was something that some activists did on a regular basis, was out some of these more high-profile people. And the reason for doing that is the thought was that if everybody knows someone who's highly visible as being GLBT, then it makes it easier for other people in everyday life.
That's my rainbow belt. Because then there's no questions asked. You know, there's no complicated conversations. It's like,
just assumptions.
Yes.
Like, I suppose so.
Yeah.
And there's always that thing. I mean, when you out somebody, you run the risk of having that person's life just fall apart in certain areas. Especially for youth, there's the possibility that somebody may be kicked out of their home because the mom and dad's intolerable for them. We've had a youth in Hatch who actually was a part of our radio program, who was excommunicated from his church the same year his father died.
Oh. Oh, wow.
And he was a leader, like he held regional offices, youth leadership positions within the church. And within months of his father dying, the church excommunicates him because they find out he's gay.
That's horrible.
It is horrible. I mean, but it happens. I mean, and, you know, in the years that I've been with Hatch, there have been kids that have said that my parents can't find out. If they do, I'll be kicked out. Or my funds for college will be cut off.
Yeah. Like, in my case, I kind of had a feeling my parents would be moderately accepting of it. Just, I wasn't ready to deal with how my dad would take it. Because my dad, like... Because I had to tell them over the phone because they live back home in Tennessee. And, like, I can just tell in his voice he's really bothered by it. He's very upset about it. And he's trying hard to be supportive. And I'm really grateful for that. But I can tell that it's hurting him. And I wasn't ready to deal with that. Like, I'm not ready to deal with how that's going to affect my dad. Now I have to.
Right.
I don't have a choice anymore.
Right.
And, you know.
That must make it harder since he's away.
Yeah. Like, I didn't get the opportunity to tell them to their faces on my own terms. That was taken away from me.
Right. A lot of parents are afraid or worried that in some way it means that their children won't be happy. That for whatever reason, a GLBT lifestyle equals sadness, depression, unhealthy relationships, that you miss out on happiness. And the other thing is that they're afraid for your safety. And that it although that's becoming less and less of an issue, because GLBT, we've gone beyond that stereotype of the depressed, unhappy homosexual who, right, you know, who is miserable their entire life. You know, that was something that was a 70s kind of view, I guess, or a 60s, 50s, 60s, 70s kind of view of what it meant to be GLBT for people who weren't. Of course, that's not the case. But parents who don't have a lot of GLBT people around them or know a lot, some of those people still worry about that. And I think you always worry about what difficulties your child might have, and parents tend to exaggerate that,
yeah,
or worry about that. So I guess you overcome that by showing them, you know, hey, I'm still your
yeah,
bright, smiling little girl.
Yeah. But, like, it's easier for us to... Well, it's hard after a while, like, for a while, to be out, because you always get those looks like, I knew it, or... Like, oh, they are so different from us. And parents have a right to be, like, worried for, like, our safety or our acceptance, because it's their job. But for us, we want to be ourselves. Like, this is us. And we don't want to have to hide behind that just because we want to be safe. And it's more along the lines of how society is taking homosexuality. And, I mean, I'm sure it'll change sooner or later, but, like, right now, it's pretty hard for a few, like, young GLBT, like, it's pretty difficult.
Yeah. And kind of like what you were saying, you know, parents are afraid because, like, in themselves, they have their own prejudices against
That's right.
GLBT people.
That's right.
And they know their neighbors, their relatives have those prejudices. And then now they're feeling like all that hate is now directed at their child. And that's
right.
Scary.
Right.
Yeah.
You know,
we were talking back that people who think that they do not know a GLBT person, that mindset allows them to marginalize us as a group. And to demonize us as a group. And they're susceptible to what fringe groups tell them about the GLBT lifestyle. We had a PFLAG parent that once came in and spoke to Hatch. And that they would do that regularly. And she said that she wished that one day that there would be a yellow light that shined on every GLBT GLBT person. I keep
it's a mouthful.
I usually very good at that. It usually just rolls off the tongue, but
it's
tonight I don't know why.
GOBT.
Or LGBT, you know, whichever. Yeah. But she wished that a light, a beam of light, would shine down on every GLBT person for an entire day so that. And I thought, wow, you know, at first, my first response to that was, oh, gosh, that's going to out people. You know, they're going to get, you know, they're
fired
or, you know, the you know, people, all those bad things that can happen to you. And I thought, oh, that might be bad. And then she explained herself. She said that, you know, people don't realize that they do know gay and lesbians, that they're their neighbors. Right. They're related. They're their nephews. They're the people who do business with them, if they're a business owner, and that by having that happen, then no one would be able to say that I don't know anyone like that or they're all bad people because I respect this person or I love this person or this person's a good neighbor to me. I thought that was really insightful.
Yeah, and there's a lot of people who try to, I don't know, I don't really know what to say about their logic, but they're like, you know, I think gay people are okay, I just don't think they should be entitled to this or that.
Right.
And then, you know, they say that they're okay with gay people, but they're really not. But when they know someone, it's like, you know, I don't think it's fair that my brother's not entitled to that, or I don't think it's fair that, you know, my best friend's not entitled to that. So, you know, it's important to be out.
Yeah, it when you can be.
When you can be.
When it's safe.
When it's safe. And that's part of, you know, I've been really angry with the person who outed me because my parents are currently paying my tuition. And she doesn't know if they're going to cut me off, if I'm going to be kind of, like, looking for a way to pay to go to school now. Like, she doesn't know how they're going to react. And she just kind of decided she was going to out me and just put my life in a balance. Just, that's just really crazy.
All right. And, like, wasn't it suggested that you would have to, like, come back and live with them?
Yeah, my parents, when I finally talked to them, they're like, you know, maybe you should just come back and, you know, live with us for a while and go to, you know, the local college. Like, I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. I've been waiting 18 years to get out. Yeah. I'm out. I'm not going back, was kind of my reaction, but...
I'm out. I'm not going back.
I get it because... Oh, man. But, yeah, it's like they want me to go home, and I'm, you know, they're not going to pull me out of school that they're paying for. That'd just be a big old waste of their money. But, you know, once summer rolls around, I think they're going to put a lot more pressure on me to go home, and I don't want to transfer schools. I want to keep going here. There's a lot of great stuff here that I'm wanting to be involved in. And
great people.
Great people.
Moi.
That's right.
And she just kind of just screwed me, basically. Just, that really sucks that she did that.
What's your relationship with her? Friends?
She is my brother's girlfriend.
Oh, okay. I stepped out.
I think they're like common law married or something. Oh, like, mm-hmm. They've been living together for like ever.
Wow. Have you talked to her about what the potential consequences could have been to her actions?
I have not talked to her really since then, really. I've just been really angry for about the last week.
There was that strongly worded letter.
I wrote her a letter basically telling her that I didn't appreciate, you know, her calling my mom, especially since the day that she called my mom, you know, we had gotten into kind of a verbal altercation, and, you know, she asked me just flat out, are you bisexual? And I said, yes, I am. The only reason she didn't ask me if I was a lesbian is because I just got out of a relationship with a guy. And, you know, before I left the house, she was like, you know, you don't have to worry about me telling anybody that you're bisexual, because, like you said, it's, you know, it's your thing to tell people, and your secret's safe with me. A few hours later, I found out she called my parents, and she told my brother. And it's like, so you know it's not your place, but you did it anyway. And right. That's one of the reasons why it was so upsetting. And so I wrote that. I was like, you know, I've lost respect for you because you did something you know was a bad thing to do.
Right.
Because you wanted to. I don't know why you did it, but regardless of why you did it, it wasn't a good thing to do.
Right, right.
And I told her not to talk to me anymore because I have issues. I wouldn't be able to handle talking to her for a while, so I've not spoken to her. It's really unfortunate because I really don't think my mom appreciates it either. I think my mom feels like she stuck her nose in where she didn't need to.
Well, clearly.
Yeah. So she kind of lost some points with my mom. Not that my mom liked her that much anyway. No one likes her. She's a stupid.
Nice little self-censorship.
That's good.
Yeah. But yeah. The world has become pretty accepting, though. Because I have a lesbian boss. And my assistant manager is lesbian. And they've been in a 5-year relationship. And I think that's pretty awesome, you know?
That is awesome.
And, you know, kind of got hired on the spot. But, you know, just saying. But it's the fact that she got a place as a manager. And everyone who works under her, like, I see no bad talking. Like, everybody likes her. Everybody, it's like, gay people are made to be like these horrible, evil people when we're just like everyone else. We just, being gay or GLBT is just another characteristic. Like, and like us being outed or whatnot, like against like our jurisdiction, it's not right because it's just like saying somebody's gay is just another characteristic. So it's like, oh, she likes fish. It's like, okay, why do they need to know that?
Right.
It's just another characteristic.
Right.
I happen to like fish.
Right.
That's cool. I also happen to be trans. It's like, you don't have to, it's not right.
Do you remember when I told you about that conversation I had with her? When, like, she was asking me a ton of questions, because she was, I guess, saying that I've changed in a negative way, and it's because of me being bi. It's like, yeah, that happened, like, 6 years ago. But, and she was asking me questions, she's like, so are your friends like you? And I was like, what do you mean? She's like, are they like you? Are they different? I was like, what do you mean? Are they tall? Are they black? Do they like rainbow shoes? What do you mean? I don't know.
Don't understand.
She's like, are they different? I was like, some of my friends are different. Some of them are the same. I don't know.
You know?
So I was just playing games with her. Just, you know, if she didn't have it in her to come out and ask me if I hang out with a bunch of gay kids, and I wasn't going to dignify her with an answer. So, I don't know.
You could always turn it back. Are your friends different?
Are your friends different?
Are some of them the same? Are they all stupid?
That's wonderful. Oh.
Well, you'll have all those family get-togethers to look forward to.
Yeah. Huh. No, and it's like, I need to call my mom because, like, my grandma and my aunt have been calling me. Like, both of them called me twice today. I was like, Mom, did you tell Grandma? I'm upset with everyone right now. Like, do I not get to tell anybody? I should just call up, like, just random relatives, like, hey, have you talked to my mom this week? Okay, well, then I have something to tell you.
Before she gets to you, let me tell you myself.
Yeah. And I think, like, another concern of my parents is I have two other openly gay relatives that are, you know, open, like I said. Uh-huh. One of them, he's just a few years older than me, and he's made a lot of bad choices in his life. He dropped out of college. He, you know, got into drugs. He has a drinking problem, and he kind of disappears for months at a time, and he's gay. And I think they kind of associate his behavior with him being
right.
gay, which
right.
is really unfortunate for me
right.
and any of my younger cousins who might be GLBT, because we kind of have that stigma attached to us.
Right.
And, you know, I can be like, Mom, that's a stereotype. She's like, no, because Josh Shea is like that. That's, you know, like, no, Mom, it's different. And so I feel like I'm being watched now even
right.
harder. Like, I have to make good grades. Like, I do. I'm good. But I can't, you know, not make good grades. I have to make sure I don't do any bad things or make bad choices, because I feel like I have to fix what he's broken. He kind of gave us a bad image, and I have to fix it. And I feel like, I don't know, I feel like I have to fix it not just for everyone else in the GLBT community to shine a better light on them, but also if I have younger cousins who might be GLBT, if I have younger relatives, you know, they'll be like, well, Josh, hey, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, but Lakia, she's a good one.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so, I don't know. I feel like I have to fix stuff.
Right, well, and you can always point out that there are far more straight people exactly. who have drinking problems
yeah.
and have drug problems and have, their lives have gone bad. The statistically far, far more
yes.
than
very
a small
true.
And the percent, I don't know what the current stats are on that in terms of what percentage of the general population have those type of problems as opposed to the specific GLBT population. But it's certainly not, you know, it's...
Yeah, I mean, can't be.
Yeah, it's just those are old stereotypes, and unfortunately, when you see one bit of evidence that justifies that
yeah.
in your mind, then you're like, oh, this must be true in all situations.
It's unfortunate because you know he doesn't do drugs because he's gay. He does drugs because he's a silly.
Right.
And he's a silly gay, so it's unfortunate.
It's very unfortunate. So now we have to try and become the poster child
yeah.
for GLBT and, like, change people's views of that situation, of, like, our, you know, sexual preference or whatnot. And, like, everybody, they try to assume that it's all of us, that all of us are, like, I don't know, just horrible people.
Yeah.
But now we have to, like, our generation, we have to, like, change that and be a positive outlook on GLBT.
Yeah, one person at a time.
Yeah. One person at a time. But yeah, like, going back to the question you asked earlier about, like, how out we are, I think I'm moderately out. Like, I don't know, I wear rainbow stuff. I have these snazzy shoes that I made. But, like, my manager, who's a lesbian, knows that I'm bisexual. I think she thinks I'm a lesbian, I don't know. But I'm out to, like, about half the people I work with. She's not, though, which is really interesting. A lot of the employees don't know about her. I'm guessing she just hasn't just come out and told them, which... It's not necessarily any of their business. But,
right, I mean,
yeah.
right.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's...
I mean, there's it's kind of odd because part of the discussion has almost been as if you're GLBT, you have an obligation to be out.
Mm-hmm.
But the flip side of that is that if you're GLBT, you have every right not to be.
Mm-hmm.
You are the one who should control that.
Yeah.
But... that because, you know, you will influence the people that you know, that there is that you should be out because, you know, it helps the cause or it helps the image for everybody involved. But still, it's just, I don't think there's any justification for outing somebody, especially
yeah.
a friend of yours or a family member of yours, to someone as close as your parents.
Yeah.
It's just not right.
It's not, and it's just... It's extremely just horrible.
And it's so personal. I mean, when you actually have that conversation with your loved ones, with your family, it's so personal. Because there is that, you've been the same person your entire life, but because of this new piece of information, there's the risk that all of that could be forgotten and you might risk rejection.
Right, and yeah. like, it's like all of a sudden, because you're out, you're a completely different person. You're the same, I'm the same Alex as
right.
I was 3 months ago.
But I think isn't there something liberating, though,
yes.
about being...
Very liberating.
Where you know you're gay and no one else does, and then you get to the point where the people that you add on to your life and the people that you have in your life begin to know you're gay.
Right, because at first when you
I think
just,
it's a change. I honestly think that there's a change.
Yeah. When you first know it, when you just know it yourself, it's like oh my goodness, I know who I am, or at least a fraction of who I am. And then when you tell other people, you can be who you are around them, and you don't have to filter yourself.
Right.
And it's just, it feels really great.
It feels amazing. Like, coming out just feels so good. And the first time, like, I came out to anybody ever, I was in, like, middle school, and I came out to some of my friends, and it just felt liberating. And I had, like, this little high where I wanted to talk about it all the time. Mm-hmm. It's like, hey, you want to talk about me being bi again?
People are listening to this right now, especially people who aren't in the GLBT category, and will be surprised that you said you knew when you were in middle school.
Really?
They'll be shocked, in fact. They'll even doubt it, I'm sure.
Yeah, because, you know, if you're bi in middle school, it's such a phase.
Today, the whole bi thing has become more acceptable as a trendy thing.
Mm. Yeah, that really is no cool.
Yeah, we've touched on that at Hatch.
We have. We've had that discussion.
All of a sudden, it's a trend, it's a fad to be bisexual, and it's like, it's so cool.
You know, I think people who aren't bisexual will say they're bisexual.
Yeah, it is,
and they do. And, you know, it makes me want to just be like, you know what? I'm just a lesbian. It's easier to be an extreme than to be in the middle.
Yeah.
Because people can claim they're in the middle all the time, but it's easier to be an extreme than just smack dab in the middle.
Like, last year, it was like
The thing.
Man, in my high school, everybody was like, oh my goodness, I am so bisexual. Like, I would love to go out with that guy and that girl at the same time. And that's not right, because that gives a bad name.
But, yeah. Right. But, you know, I think everybody, to a certain degree, has the ability of a little bisexual tendency.
Yeah.
That does not make you bisexual, however.
It doesn't.
Yes.
You know, there's this... In fact, I think it's even normal to... For someone who is straight, to see someone of the same sex and think, God, that's really a good-looking person.
Or, yeah.
Wow, they're kind of sexy.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That doesn't mean you're going to sleep with them ever in your entire life.
Yes. Exactly. Or that you even have... You even want to.
That's like, right.
And... Like, there's a spectrum where, you know, people are in it. And I think people who aren't really bi, but they say they are, they think, you know, I'm bi, so I'm, like, smack dab in the middle. When in reality, most bi people are nowhere near the middle. They are closer to one of the extremes.
Right.
Like,
yeah. My best friend, he's bi, and he's closer to gay than he is to straight. Like, it'll take a really attractive woman to make him actually want to pursue a relationship.
Yeah.
And I know a lot of people that are bisexual, and they predominantly want to be with the same sex.
Uh-huh.
But they have that little feeling, like they feel some spark to somebody of a different sex.
Yeah.
And it's just, you know, and the people who are heterosexual and they have those random flares of homosexuality, you're not bi, you're just heterosexual with a tiny homosexual tendency.
Right.
Tiny. Little bit.
Not even like that many.
Not even that many. So it's stop the fad, please.
Stop it.
Because you're making bisexuals look
you
really
bad. You are making
bad.
My life so much harder. And honestly, like we talked about in Hatch, there's not so much to look up to as far as being bisexual go. You have, like, Tila Tequila. And then you have, like, who else?
I don't know. Okay, Angelina Jolie is bisexual.
Is she a real bisexual, or is she one of those?
You know,
she kissed a girl and she liked it. I think
that's probably right.
I think that's all it was. She kissed a girl and
but
she
you
liked
know,
it.
But, you know, what do you think about that song?
She did date that model.
What kind of impact does that song have when little kids are singing this song and everyone's talking about the song? It's the most popular song in the country.
I think it feeds the fad.
Yes.
You know, I think it's a good thing.
But it does feed the fad, because everybody's like, well, she's famous and she kissed a girl and she liked it, so maybe I can do that too, because I want to be cool just like her.
I'm
going to
kiss a girl and tell people that I liked it and that I'm totally into that.
So I can totally sing the song and be true
about it. What if by having this fad, what if it makes it easier for gays and lesbians and bisexuals
to come out?
What if it, even if it's artificial, but the thing about fads is that they come and go. That's the bad thing. But if it is a fad and people are more receptive and people are talking about it and it becomes more acceptable, maybe that will linger and stay. And is that a bad thing?
That section of that situation is not a bad thing.
It feels like something's being...
But that's if that happens.
Yes, yes. If.
Right.
I think that gives people more reason to say, are you sure it's not just a phase? Because that's like the most frustrating question I get. Like, how do you know?
Especially at your age.
Yeah.
It's like, well, I've been identifying as bisexual for, say, 6 years.
Yeah, since you're in middle school.
I think I know.
It's been on my mind for a while.
You know?
The thoughts don't go away. It's been 6 years.
I remember when I was a kid and I would randomly come... I really hope, like, my parents aren't listening. But I would randomly come across, like, one of my stepdad's nice little magazines. And I think I was about 7... And I was, like, looking at the magazine and flipping it over and just tilting it and, like, huh, that is nice looking.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And so it's, oh, man. I have no words.
I think most people who are gay and lesbian know that at a very, very early age.
Yes.
Not all of them. But I think a lot of people, and people who are straight who are listening, they sometimes have a hard time when they hear people say, I knew when I was 4. Well, how could you possibly know? Especially something that's so closely identified with sex.
Yeah, see?
It's more than... I used to tell people when I first came out and when I was first dealing with it that, you know, don't think of me differently. Being gay is just who I sleep with.
Right.
Who I... But it's not.
Yeah.
I have come to realize that being gay...
is more than
is
sex.
A part of everything
it's romantic
in my life.
It's like, yeah.
I think it has to do with the type of relationships that I have with people.
Mm-hmm.
I think it allows me to be more open about my artistic likes and endeavors.
Mm-hmm.
When I think straight men have the same thing, but for some reason it's not as acceptable. I'm sorry, it shapes my politics.
Yeah, it allows you to be a social minority. People who are considered social minorities have more understanding of other minorities.
I think that's true.
It's a fact, like, or most of my sociology book says, and I believe it.
I believe that, yeah.
The more, I guess, farther away you are from being the social norm, not even the social norm, but the more you care. Like, if you're gay, then, you know, you have concern for everybody. If you're black and gay, you concern about everybody and their mother. If you're
and
black, gay, and a girl, then you're just, you love pigeons. Their problems. You love everybody.
Yeah.
So, you know, the more you have against you, the more you care. Or so my book told me. So.
But you agree.
I do agree.
Yes.
I agree. I mean, I care.
I do care.
I care a lot.
So, I don't know. I've pretty much known since I was real young, but I didn't really think of it.
Yeah.
Because, you mean, a lot of people, like, kids are learning more and more these days. So, that's why they can come out so young, because
right.
They're like, oh, there is a name for
right.
what I
am. I'm glad
what
you
I
said that.
Yes, there is something I can call this.
Right.
Like, I'm sure kids, like, a lot of younger gay kids are, like, running around on the playground, like, I would rather play with him than her. I would rather play with him. And, like, they don't know what to call that. They just say, well, they're my best friend, you know? But really, they, until they know what to call it, they're going to be the straight kid, you know? And when they find a name for that, it's like, oh, my goodness, really? You're gay? What? But, huh? And, like, a lot of people, they don't think that kids know. But, like, it's on TV all the time now, which I think it's great. I think we're moving in the right direction.
Yeah, I do, too.
And it's on TV a lot, and kids are watching, and they're like, oh, my goodness. They call that homosexuality.
Right.
I'm gay.
I think, yeah, like, I think that's me. It's you have that connection, like, oh my God.
Yeah,
that,
you can identify.
That's how I feel. And I remember, like, when I was younger, I knew what a lesbian was, and I knew what bisexual was, and I knew that I liked girls, but I, for some reason, I never put it all together. Like,
sure.
I never, like, I like girls. Lesbians like girls.
Therefore.
You know, I haven't reached that level in math. It's like, if then.
Yeah. You know, and I knew I liked girls at a young age, and see, I didn't even know that girls could get with girls. You know, like, I didn't know that we could be a couple until I was in eighth grade. And I saw, like, it was like my first ever lesbian couple that I've seen. And I was like, oh my goodness. Whoa. You know, like, they're doing what I've always wanted to do, but I didn't know that it was, like, actually allowed.
Right.
And, like, socially, and it's not allowed. Like, kids are brought up a particular way that girls are supposed to be with guys. Guys are supposed to be with girls. You're born a girl, you stay a girl. You're born a guy, you stay a guy. And it's not right. And, like, when we touched on this in Hatch also, when we're watching TV, when we're young and we're watching TV, and, like, we're not on TV a lot. Like, we are now. But back then, we weren't on TV a lot.
No, that's
and
right.
So, a lot of the gay, our older generations, they didn't see themselves on TV, so they couldn't relate.
That's right.
With the people in the world. And so they felt that they were alone.
Right.
And when you see yourself on TV and you can relate, it's like, wow.
That's me.
I think you're better adjusted at a much early age, and I think that's why, one of the reasons why we have people who are younger and younger coming out and identifying as being gay and lesbian.
Exactly.
And it doesn't, but I do want to make this point that by having GLBT visibility on TV and movies and personalities, that doesn't make a kid gay or a lesbian or bisexual.
It does not. Not at all.
But what it does is allow them to incorporate a healthier self-esteem. Mm-hmm. Have someone they can actually identify, and what you said earlier, which is right, wow, that's what I am, and I'm not the only one.
Yes.
That's what it does. It makes for a better adjusted individual.
Exactly.
Who is gay and lesbian or bisexual. It doesn't make someone doesn't watch TV and say, oh, Will and Grace is funny, haha, I think I'm going to be gay.
No, that doesn't happen.
And, you know, being GLBT, like, I don't know. I was discussing this with someone a while back, and it's like they were saying it's one of the most interesting minorities, you know, out there, because you kind of have to find your identification elsewhere. Like, if you're another minority, you know, and someone, you know, is picking on you at school, you can run home where your entire family is that minority.
That's right.
They know what you're going through. They have felt it before.
That's right.
If you're GLBT, you can't do that. You
right.
don't have... that the rest of your family isn't like you.
That's right.
Necessarily.
And you know, in a lot of school systems, GLBT is still the accepted minority to hate and persecute and turn your back on when something's happening to somebody, when someone's being bullied, harassed, or whatever the situation may be.
All right. Like, a kid at my school, he's a freshman, and he got jumped in the bathroom. And, like, they were, you know, saying all kind of vulgar, like, homosexual slurs to him while they were, like, beating him up. And it's like, why? Why is that acceptable? And people make it acceptable from the, like, how they envision us. And it's not right. That's, man.
They like you said, they turn their back on it. If you see someone, you know, making fun of someone who is Asian, they'll be like, it's not okay to do that. That's not cool.
Right.
If you're making fun of someone with a certain disability, maybe someone who's deaf or blind or, you know, has some kind of mental handicap, there's some people saying, you know, that's not cool. That's sick. You shouldn't make fun of people.
That's
like
right.
That. But if you're making fun of a gay kid, it's like, I haven't heard that joke before.
Right.
You know, they don't always stand up for it. And it's like, they don't even register always that there's something wrong there.
Right.
And what makes it worse is when the school system, as an organization, turns their back on that kind of harassment.
Exactly. And those guys didn't really get in trouble at all.
Well, you know what? School systems have better start listening, because they're losing, they're being sued.
They are.
And they're losing those cases.
I did hear about that.
And, you know, if their heart and their mind intellectually is not where they want to provide safe schools for everyone, including GLBT, then by God, their pocketbooks better be concerned about it, because they are losing lawsuits.
They really are. It's crazy, though, because, I mean, the kid, like, after he mentioned, he stated that they were talking about him, that after he mentioned that, they said that those, like, homosexual slurs towards him, they were like, oh, well, that's different. Why is that different?
That's right.
And it's schools, they need to hang it up, get it right.
I think we're going to be wrapped up in a little bit.
yeah, it's getting pretty close, guys.
Wrap us up, we're done.
Yeah, they keep doing that signal.
Well, let's let everyone know how to contact Hatch again.
All right, you need to go to www.hatchyouth.org. Or like I said, just Google Hatch Youth and we'll pop up. We're pretty popular.
And I think I have the Hatch number, and God, I hope this is right. But 713-529-3590. Does that sound right?
That actually does sound right-ish.
That's right.
Okay, good.
All right, awesome. I was about to pull out my phone and get the MCC number.
The GLBT hotline, we always like to give that out. Okay. Everyone should have this programmed in their phone. 713-529-3211. Correct. You never know when you might be in a situation where you need help.
Is that the switchboard?
That, yeah.
Yep.
Okay, I have that in my phone under switchboard. Okay, awesome. Got it. Just don't have my phone with me because I'm square.
Well, thanks for having us.
You bet. You bet.
It's great seeing y'all guys.
Bye.
Thanks for being here on the shortest show of the year.
Yes. Our two-hour show.
Yes, because only a show that has a bunch of fairies on it could be in the time change when magically 2 o'clock becomes 3 o'clock.
Or later in the year when...
3 o'clock. When 2 o'clock becomes 1 o'clock.
Exactly.
Yes.
Well, it's been another great show this week.
Mm-hmm. All right. Zydeco Pasale is waiting in the wings to bring you their brand of music.
Yep. And we're going to go ahead and close you out on some Pansy Division tonight. Who Treats You Right? Who Treats You Right? KPFT does. Listener-sponsored radio. Y'all have a great evening, and we'll talk to y'all next week.
Okay.
He's into sports, looks good in shorts, but you're just another game to him. I've seen his type, I've seen him all my life. I do, baby, I do.
Force for Change, the Houston Peace and Justice Center's day-long spring conference on environmental injustice in Texas, is scheduled for Saturday, March 21st at U of H Honors College, 212 MD Anderson Library. The conference will bring together some of the most knowledgeable people in the state. Speakers and panelists will focus on defining the issue of environmental injustice, the responsibility of a person of faith, and the responsibility of the state. The workshops target turning environmental injustice into environmental justice on crucial Texas issues. Visit hpjc.org for more information and to register. KPFT Houston.
Mark your calendar to come help KPFT celebrate our birthday with some of your favorite musicians on Sunday, March 15th, the Ides of March, starting at noon until 7 p.m. over at McGonigal's Mucky Duck, 2425 Norfolk, just off the intersection of Kirby, south of Richmond. Celebrate with performances by Ho Girl, Randy Weeks, Patrice Pike, Jesse Dayton and Mike Stinson, Shake Russell, John Evans, Hamilton Loomis, Johnny Boy and Milt Hopkins, Sugar Bayou, and others, including special guests. Your $20 admission ticket gets you into the big top tent for all the celebratory festivities, so please join us and help celebrate KPFT on its 39th birthday, Sunday, March 15th, starting at noon at McGonigal's Mucky Duck, 2425 Norfolk Street in Houston. This is KPFT Houston, Radio for Peace.
You are listening to KPFT 90.1 in Houston, 89.5 in Galveston, and stay tuned for the Zydeco Pasole Show. That request line number will be 713-526-5738.
free program you just heard was paid for by the listener members of KPFT Houston. If you're not already a KPFT member, we encourage you to join with us in keeping free speech alive by becoming one. Basic membership is still $35 a year. You don't have to, but you'll feel better. Thanks for listening.